Sarah Wombe. Retirees say they're disappointed at how long it's taken for the federal government to look into changing the deeming rate. The government is set to cut deeming rates used to estimate how much some pensioners earn on their financial investments. For more than 630,000 pensioners and 350,000 people receiving other income-tested payments, affected pensioners will receive up to $40.50 extra per fortnight for couples and $31 for singles after the deeming rate cuts. National Seniors Advocate Ian Henschke has told Macquarie it shouldn't have taken a united campaign by seniors groups to bring about change.
For the government to say that they understand when they feel for the retiree or the pensioner who's affected by this, it does sound a little bit hollow, given that there have been five different rate drops since the last time Scott Morrison changed the deeming rate. That was 4 years and 4 months ago.
An elderly Sydney man who was injured after he allegedly hit a woman playing the pokies at a pub has been refused bail. George Richard McDonald faced Parramatta Bail Court yesterday via video link with his head wrapped in a bandage and blood on his shirt. The court was told the Waterloo man was on a good behaviour bond for a domestic violence-related assault when he approached the same victim and hit her on the side of the head at a hotel in Redfern on Friday. She allegedly kicked him back, causing him to fall and injure his head, which required stitches. He's expected to face Central Local Court on Tuesday. Up to 1.6 million litres of illegally dumped toxic waste has been discovered at another location in Melbourne's north. Sean Bindley has more.
WorkSafe Victoria says the outdoor site at Campbellfield was initially found during joint inspections earlier this year, but recent inspections have revealed a significant amount of dangerous goods. The site was initially believed to have mostly industrial waste before the toxic chemical haul was found. WorkSafe Victoria said in a statement released yesterday, while the exact quantity of waste chemicals at the latest site is unknown, preliminary calculations indicate that there is potential to store up to 1.6 million litres at the sites. Sean Bindley, Air News.
Thousands of Hong Kong people have marched to protest against mainland Chinese traders in a town near the border, tapping into anger behind huge demonstrations against the now suspended extradition bill. Mainland traders have long been a source of anger among those in Hong Kong who say they have fuelled inflation, driven up property prices and dodged taxes. The BBC's Danny Vincent reports.
What started as peaceful protest transformed into a tense standoff between hundreds of protesters facing off against police lines on a narrow footbridge in the most northern part of Hong Kong, bordering mainland China. Large groups of young people gathered at ground level, signalling for supplies. Helmets and umbrellas were pushed to the front. Police fired pepper spray to disperse the crowd.
Briefly, British Foreign Minister Jeremy Hunt has told his Iranian counterpart Britain will enable the release of a detained oil tanker if Tehran guarantees the vessel will not go to Syria. In the US, Hurricane Barry has made landfall in Louisiana and weakened to a tropical storm. And an earthquake of 5.5 magnitude has struck northern Mindanao in the south of the Philippines, injuring people and causing damage to several houses, buildings and infrastructure. This is Air News. Simona Halep has crushed Serena Williams with the performance of her life to secure her maiden Wimbledon crown. Halep shattered Williams' latest quest for a record equaling 24th Grand Slam singles title with a merciless 6-2, 6-2 victory in the unexpectedly one-sided final. There was also some good news for the Aussies on day 12 at Wimbledon. Esports Paul Walsh has the details.
Wheelchair ace Dylan Alcott now holds all four major titles after defeating arch-rival and close friend Andy Lapthorne from Great Britain 6-love 6-2 in the final of the quad wheelchair singles here at Wimbledon. After graduating from a medal-winning Australian basketballer, Alcott has taken all before him in the world of tennis, now holding nine major titles. And as for the future?
I want to win that Rod Laver Grand Slam, like, in a calendar year. So, one more to go, baby. Glad I didn't drop the bottle here, so see what happens.
This is Paul Walsh at Wimbledon for Air Sport.
Geelong has beaten St Kilda by 27 points to regain top spot on the AFL ladder. Adelaide thrashed the Gold Coast 151-56. There were also wins for Essendon, Hawthorn and Carlton. Brisbane and the Warriors NRL finals hopes remain up in the air after playing out a rare draw at Suncorp Stadium. Melbourne and South Sydney posted wins. Manchester United have posted a 2-0 win over Perth Glory in a friendly at Optus Stadium. And Australia have beaten Zimbabwe 73-37 at the Netball World Cup. Australian Independent Radio News.
Lazarus, twice named New Zealand Horse of the Year. Lazarus, also named 3-year-old, 4-year-old and 5-year-old pacer of the year. Lazarus, an Australasian Grand Circuit champion for 2 years in a row. And at the time, as a precocious 2-year-old, Lazarus paced the fastest 2-year-old mile ever down under with a final quarter of 25-1. Lazarus, standing at Yuraby Stud in New South Wales.
Our customers love having a local shop, but I need more funds to help keep my shelves stocked.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has loaned over $10 billion US dollars to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Dali Stallions have sired 3 of the 4 juvenile Group 1 winners this season, including the Group 1 Blue Diamond.
Liar over the top! Liar's won the diamond!
The first 3 home in the Golden Slipper.
Kiyomichi in front from Microphone of Liar.
And the Stallion making Group 1 sired produce.
And Microphone's won it! Microphone's won the English sire.
Start with the Dali Stallion and the rest will follow.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the Tab app or at your local. The Kosciuszko. Tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1800 858 858.
Controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yeah, Captain Morgan, good drink. Prefer him not to be in the Cricket World Cup final, I would have thought. Anyway, that's the way we go. Hey, welcome to your Sunday morning. I hope you're having a great start. I'm so excited to be back in
welcome
the studio.
Home.
Thank
you're
you,
back Ray. In Australia.
Thank you, yeah.
How was Slovakia?
I tell you what, Slovakia was beautiful. We went to the ancient city.
You went to a friend's wedding. Correct.
Yeah. Best man at a friend's wedding, Košice, which is the second largest city of Slovakia behind Bratislava, which is in the northeast of the country. And it was beautiful, beautiful scenery, fantastic weather. Mm-hmm. The centre of the town is dominated by a 12th century cathedral, St. Elizabeth, which is just beautiful. And the whole time I was over there, all I could think was, how lucky are we in Australia?
Yeah, well, actually, when you travel, you realise how lucky we are.
It gives you a huge appreciation, doesn't it?
Very lucky country.
And you know what the other thing I was feeling? How lucky am I to be partnered with Ray Thomas on a Sunday morning?
Oh, well, we did miss you last week, Skipper, I've got to say, though. Michael Carayannis filled in particularly well.
I heard that. Mm. I won't be going away again for a long time anyway. I'll say that. Carayannis.
It's good to have you home, Skip. And Origin.
Hang on, just before we get to that, any idea who won the quiz last week, Ray?
I think it was me. I almost forgotten.
Oh, mate.
Producer Steve? I won it, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Oh, yeah. Did you? Oh.
I actually forgot.
Fantastic.
Does that make it 14, 13 my way?
Yes.
Producer Steve's thumbs up.
thumbs up.
Go, you good guy.
Got a feeling Karyanis was in on it as well. Anyway, that's just my suspicion.
I even went first last week because I thought if I don't go number one, you will immediately imply there was a rort. So I went number one, much to my chagrin.
I won't imply, I'll claim.
Okay.
Yes, Origin during the course of the week. Incredible game of rugby. Just
you were out there, Jim?
I was out there. It was one of those occasions where I've always wondered, haven't really been a fan of, you know, I'd prefer referees to make their decision. In my mind, it was pretty clear that Blake Ferguson had kept himself in the field of play. Like, there wasn't centimetres in it. There was 10 or 15, you know. And yet... The second cheer when the try sign went up on the big screen was perhaps
great theatre,
even bigger than the initial cheer.
Yeah, great. Well, that was it. That was confirmation. The Blues had done it, gone back to back. Probably not the best game of football of all time, but in terms of theatre, it
contest.
Was compelling, wasn't it?
Contest. For
Queensland never lie down.
And I know we're going up to our Queensland listeners. For them to drag themselves back into
fantastic.
The game when New South Wales, they dominated for 25 minutes. They probably should have led by 30-8.
They got themselves back in the game. Ethan Lowe had an unbelievable Origin debut, didn't he? He was fantastic.
You could not... I've said it on programs subsequent to that, you know, he'd be very, very disappointed with the loss, as all of Queensland would be. However, he could put his head on the pillow that night, safe in the knowledge that he was an Origin class player.
Yeah, he
and
was,
that is
he
something.
Was fantastic, yeah.
And James Tedesco, is he the best in the world?
I think you've got to say consistently he does it time and time again, both at club level, state level and at national level. He produces in big games when he's needed most. He did again on Origin 3. He's been the best player, definitely, in the series the last 2 years. There's no doubt about it.
And easily.
I think you have to say he's the best player in the world.
He's putting together a portfolio of games at Origin level, which, you know, rightly or wrongly, we see as the highest level, that are top shelf.
He's amazing.
All he needs now is longevity at that level to be declared an Origin great.
Agree. Talking of top shelf, not often we give kudos to the NRL, but I think they deserve it for last night's celebration of Cameron Smith's 400th game. I thought how they honoured Cameron Smith, both sides, the Sharks must be included in this, with that guard of honour from him to coming on, etc., I thought was outstanding. He's an immortal in waiting.
Clearly.
You could have so easily have lost focus, couldn't you? But he came out and just did what Cameron Smith does, controlled the footy game, barely made a mistake. The Storm were relentless. They took the Sharks apart. What did Smith kick? 8 out of 9.
Yeah.
Just had his usual influential game.
He drives standards at that club, doesn't he? And you know, to hear Craig Bellamy in the press conference afterwards say, "Oh, I'm pretty lucky to have coached someone like Cameron Smith." He's coached him in 398 of his 400 games.
Is that right?
It was Mark Murray gave him a couple of starts the year before Craig Bellamy got there. His first game at halfback. You know, he divides opinion, or he certainly has for a long part of his career. One, because, especially in New South Wales, he's a Queenslander. Two, because he's down playing in Victoria. Three, because there's that element that a lot of people, you know, he's always getting his legs caught up in tackles, and, you know, he's the master of the wrestle. To speak to a number of his ex-teammates, talk about just how strong he is. Can barely bench press 100 kilos, Michael Crocker was saying, his former Storm teammate, and yet he gets you in a grip around the body, and you cannot get out.
That's the thing, because he plays in the engine room.
Yes.
He does a lot of tackles. He's got his hands on the ball a lot. To survive, almost 20 years at that level, play 400 games, plus another 100-odd games representative level.
Yes.
And virtually suffer no long-term
major
injuries.
Yeah.
It is quite extraordinary. Can we get the Cricket World Cup over and done with quickly?
Apparently that's on tonight anyway.
Is there a tournament happening over there or something?
I tell you what, my 9-year-old son, quite perceptive, throws to the dam, and he asked me this very pertinent question on Friday, Ray, after he and I stayed up until 11 o'clock. That's late for a 9-year-old.
Did he stay awake?
Yeah, he loves his cricket. Yeah, stayed awake. And we watched the Australians bat.
Got an ambush, didn't we?
Yeah, we found out the next day that things weren't so good. Anyway, he said, Dad, or he asked, Dad, who are you going for in the Cricket World Cup final? I thought that was a great question.
Gee, that's a good question.
Yeah. And my answer is, son, anyone but England. So we're going for the Kiwis.
You know what? So am I. Yeah.
We're going for the Kiwis.
Yeah. Panel operator Hamish.
Panel operator Hamish, who, whenever it suits him, whenever the All Blacks play,
or
he's a Kiwi.
Kiwi WSC World Series cricket shirt. But,
oh, yeah. What about, Wellington Phoenix? No, never heard of him. That's right. The Warriors? Who? Yeah. Oh, when it comes to the All Blacks and now they're in the World Cup final.
It'd be interesting, won't it? Because I think if we can all agree, the three best batsmen in the world at the moment are Steve Smith, Virat Kohli, Kane Williamson. Two of them are playing in the cup final tonight, Virat Kohli and Kane Williamson.
Who?
Hey?
Huh? What?
What did I say?
Virat Kohli's going to turn out for
not
England,
Kohli,
is he?
Yeah, Kane Williamson, sorry. India,
that's a late call.
England. What am I saying? Kane Williamson, is he technically the most perfect batsman you've almost seen? Virat Kohli's technically perfect. I reckon Kane Williamson is probably even better again, because there's no weakness.
The thing about Smith's all over the place, so let's just rule
him out.
But he's
got a magnificent eye.
No one's doubting that.
Yeah.
Kohli is a little more extravagant, so he'll play away from the body.
That's it.
He's so compact, Richardson.
That's the key. Yeah,
I reckon you could bowl
to
Richardson and say, I'm never going to get him out.
To Williamson. We're struggling with this.
Strong start on this Sunday morning. Anyone like to help us come into the studio?
We'll get it right. It's England versus New Zealand. We've all said we're both going to go for New Zealand. Interested to see what your thoughts are, listeners, because it is an interesting conundrum. England, you've got to give them credit, though, Jimmy, because mid-tournament they were shot to pieces. The press
Absolutely.
Had turned on them. The English public had turned on them. There was scorn almost around the world. They've turned it around and they are back in the contest. They're deserved favourites. They're going to be very hard to beat at Lords.
And they flogged Australia. They gave them an absolute... Yeah. Chris Wokes and Jofra Archer. What about... He came on the scene for the Hobart Hurricanes and you thought, have a look at this bloke. Runs through the crease, bowls quick.
And almost the key has been Jason Roy getting fit again and going back into that team because he and Bairstow have got them off the flies each and every time. Takes the pressure off. They've dominated. Their bowling attack's working well. Archer's a star, isn't he?
Oh, what a bowler. There's a Wimbledon final on tonight, Ray. Not sure if... Tell the grandkids about this one. The incredible thing about it is, it would seem that most, if not all, want Roger to win, but he probably won't.
Heart says Roger, head says Novak. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, a little bit like that.
It's going to be a classic. I hope it lives up to the hype because it's shaping as a tremendous tournament. Both of them have been in outstanding form. Neither have been taken to five sets on their way through. So looking forward to it. Overnight, Serena Williams again fell short trying to equal Margaret Court's all-time record of 24 Grand Slam singles titles. But to be fair, Simona Halep dismantled Serena Williams.
Almost faultless.
It was incredible.
She made three errors.
It was unbelievable. Uh-huh. You have those moments sometimes in life when everything just seems to work perfectly for you. It hasn't happened to me yet. But
I'll look forward to that.
Exactly. I remember one time when John McEnroe played in a Wimbledon final. Who was it against? He won it 6-1, 6-1, 6-2, and I don't think he made a mistake.
Roscoe Tanner?
Anyway, but that was Simona Halep last night, a deserved winner, and she was outstanding, wasn't she? I just said three errors, is it becoming a mental thing with Serena? We'll ask Leo when we get him on a little bit later.
Are going to speak to Leo Schlink, News Limited journalist, and of course, tennis writer for them, and he is over there covering Wimbledon for News Limited. Racing yesterday at Rose Hill Gardens, and I've got to say, there were some I know it's the time of year, but impressive winners. And I thought Extine, I want to ask you about Extine, now owned by Coolmore.
Yep.
They're talking about going around again for another run before going to the breeding barn. What's the benefit of that?
Well, I guess they're a long time retired. She's still got plenty of time to, what they say in breeding circles, to let down, be prepared to be mother. They can't serve, or stallions can't serve mares until early in September. So still plenty of time. There's a race in 2 weeks at Rose Hill again. Winter Challenge over 1,500 metres. It ticks the boxes for her. She's rock hard fit. She's in form. You know,
what do they pay? $700 They're trying to get a little bit back on their investment.
I can, as soon as she produces a mare, a foal, and they sell it, I'll get
Bang.
Their return
be
back.
Fine. And Shannon Eckstein was there yesterday.
It was, yeah.
I did a function with him. Might have been last year or the year before. Every time she runs around, he backs her.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Coolmore overnight. We'll talk to Tom Magnan a little bit later. Their sprinter, 10 Sovereigns, has absolutely blitzed a quality sprint field in the Group 1 July Cup.
What distance?
1,200 metres.
So what are you saying, Ray?
Potential. We'll put it to Tom. Potentially could be Coolmore's Everest runner.
Ooh.
He's right in the mix now. He was dominant overnight. That's a really tough, exacting course, up and down Dale at Newmarket, and he has blitzed a quality field.
The boys and girls at tab.com.au have not got 10 Sovereigns in the Everest market.
Yet. I think they'll be listening to us, and they'll be listening intently to when we get Tom Magnier on. And so good a few hours for Coolmore. They win the feature at Rose Hill with Eckstein, who's going to become a prize broodmare for them, and they win the major overnight at Newmarket.
We're going to have a chat with Mark Connors. The stable stalwart Dylan's Romance has had another win. Blake McDougall's had an outstanding season, over 100 wins, and he's head-to-head with Robbie Darwin for that apprenticeship, the premiership. And, of course, we've had Robbie on a couple of times.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had Blake on, have we?
We haven't, no.
No.
And actually, Robbie got suspended last night too. So, so it just puts Blake in the box seat to win the state premiership. Robbie's got the Sydney Apprentices Premiership title.
Tom Magnier, you mentioned. The Raw will be on again with the Event Cinemas quiz. By the way, the tickets have come in too. Prakash has produced.
Outstanding.
Yeah, well done.
I'm getting worried about that. How about the Wingman B? Has that come in?
We'll have someone from Tab to have a chat to us as well. We mentioned Leo Schlink. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. We'll get all the latest news in rugby league from both Zorba and Dean Bulldog Richie. But the fabulous game on Wednesday night has given us motivation for our talk topic for today. And that is the great rivalry.
Because Origin never fails to deliver, does it?
Like ever.
Wednesday night, Queensland look shot to pieces. They find a way to get back in the contest. It never fails to deliver. And
if you looked at those two sides on paper, the game's not played on paper, it's played on grass. You would have said New South Wales 20 plus.
All about what's in there, all about the heart.
Just incredible. Mm. So, Raymond, your great rivalry?
Has to be for me. Grew up on the kid, just Australia, England, Ashes, that was it.
The Ashes.
Yeah, it means more than anything else. I'll cop a World Cup loss if we win the Ashes. Jimmy, there you go.
Is there an Ashes moment or Ashes series? Oh, I know the 89 one. Apparently you watched a lot of it, did you?
Yeah, I did. Steve Waugh's first Test 100 means a lot. Steve Waugh's 100 at the SCG and he's in that one session meant a lot. How many? There's a thousand of them, James.
Literally.
Every time Australia wins an Ashes moment.
What about when Alex Carey was had the tape around his head and they put the vision up of Rick McCosker? That was good.
I've got to say, didn't he impress you, Alex Carey? Get hit in the head, he immediately starts bleeding. The Englishman said, "You're okay? Yeah, I'm fine." Straight away, no issue at all.
You love seeing that?
Oh, didn't even blink an eyelid. Just caught his helmet on the
caught
way
the helmet,
down. He's a good player. He's a test. He could play in the 11 as a batsman only. He's batting so well.
If Tim Payne wasn't captain, he'd be straight in.
Correct. Yeah.
If Tim Payne wasn't captain.
Is there a spot for him in the top six?
No. No, I don't think so. 13-53-53 if you disagree. Mm. You think you can, put him in there.
Squeeze him in there.
All right. SMS number 0419-767-272. Mine, Roosters v Rabbitohs.
Mm.
Two clubs that I played for. There's
You're
a
torn?
I won't say there's a deep rivalry. They hate each other.
That's
fans love giving it to each other.
So when you go to that, when you played for those two clubs, was that spoken about?
Absolutely.
Was it really? You come out to play against?
Absolutely. I'll never forget playing under-21s. The first game, it was about round three, and we were playing against the Rabbitohs, and all week they say, we've got to give it to these blokes. Absolutely.
Could you sense it out there? Was there that intensity?
Probably not more than any other game, but certainly in the build-up, there is a great rivalry between those two clubs, and it's understandable. It dates back to 1908. Mm. The SMS number 0419-767-272. Get us on Twitter as well, at Big Sports Brekkie. No, that's not it. It's at Big Sports WEND. By the way, Fitzy has sent us in an SMS. You two might need to go off for an HIA test. That's from Fitzy. Yeah, good point. We'll do that in this ad break and then we'll come back. There might be one of us, there might be none of us here. Anyway, we'll see how we go.
Mum, do you want want to hear something unheard of?
Yes.
A Bingley bonus gift card on all TVs 65 inches and above.
Say that again.
A Bingley bonus gift card on all TVs 65 inches and above.
Wow.
Ever heard that before?
Yes, twice.
When?
Just now.
Mum, this is huge. I'm going to be working around the clock.
That's unheard of.
A bonus 10% gift card on TVs 65 inches and above from our huge range at the home of TV.
Bingley.
Caribbean Blaster.
Here's I'm the Mighty Queen. Caribbean Blaster's going with him. Caribbean Blaster, I'm the Mighty Queen. I'm the Mighty Queen hit the lead. Marcish getting home. Caribbean Blaster, I'm the Mighty Queen. Caribbean Blaster hit the lead. Caribbean Blaster wins the Victoria Cup.
Caribbean Blaster, standing at Yerribee Stud. New South Wales progeny, eligible for $9,500 in bonuses. Visit yerribee.com.au.
Looking for a way to add more fun and excitement to your next racing bet? Well, you need to try Tab's new odds and evens. Just choose whether the first two place getters will be odds, evens, or split, or you can spin the wheel for a suggested bet. Odds and evens is available on all Australian racing, so whether it's horses, harness, or greyhounds, take a spin on the first two place getters for a simple and fun way to bet. Tab, who are you backing? Available for New South Wales Tab customers only. See tab.com.au for full T's and C's. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Look, there's no easy way to do this, but I can't work here anymore. You know I love it here. In fact, you're the reason I've stayed here so long. It's just the time has come. I have got to get home for dinner.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
Oakdoor the outside, Princess of Queens is rallying through. It's still Jungle Edge at the 100 from Oakdoor, Princess of Queens. Jungle Edge is holding on. Oakdoor coming at the jungle. That'll get up. Oakdoor has beaten Jungle Edge. Photo third, Malibu style of Princess of Queens.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. The skipper, Jimmy Smith, back on deck. And that was the replay of the Monash Stakes at Caulfield yesterday.
Hang on. Have I been made skipper, have I, in my absence?
Yeah, always self-appointed, weren't you? Oh. I'll bet number 11 if you want me to skip.
I'm desperate for you to come and have a game of cricket with us this season.
My eyes are gone, Jim. Seriously.
Oh, the old knicker and nudger, eh? You won't. You're like...
Elegant. Front foot through the covers.
You're like Jerry Seinfeld. You refuse to run.
I refuse to bat.
Refuse to bat.
I'm going
to
see it. That was a replay just quickly in from panel operator Hamish of Oakdoor. Upsetting Jungle Edge, in the Monash Stakes at Caulfield yesterday. When the Monash Stakes and the Winter Stakes come around, Jim, two things. We know we're deep into winter,
yes,
but it's like a turning point because you know the good horses are back. They're about to trial, etc. We've got a Lise trialing this Friday.
Okay.
It's that part of the midwinter when the good horses are in training, getting closer to barrier trials, you know, spring's around the corner. And at Rose Hill yesterday, I think a couple of colts in the first are potential spring carnival contenders.
Okay.
Very promising two-year-olds. Their names are Spend and True Detective.
Around the bend, Iconic Star drawn by Not Faint Heart and a half length away. Gee, True Detective's run into the race rather well. A length and a half to Spend, starting to hit top gear, then Belitza. True Detective hit the front at the furlong pole. Spend is starting to come out after him and come out hard now at the 100 metres mark. Spend struck the front from True Detective, who tries to rally back. It's Spend in front. He scrambled in. Spend by a nose to True Detective, who came again on the line. Third, either Belitza or Not Faint Hearted.
Yeah, it was Spend at $3, and now we're looking for Spend in the Golden Rose. $26. True Detective is there on $26 as well. And that market at tab.com.au, and the favourite exceedance is at $8.
A couple of things about Spend.
Yes.
$1.55 million yearling purchase by Snitzel, so he's bred to be good. He's in the right stable with Team Hawks. He'd missed the barrier trial leading up to that race,
okay,
so he went into his debut without any...
Cold.
Correct, without any recent barrier trials. A couple of jump outs, but that's not the same thing. For him to win speaks volumes of him. True Detective was very good, got to the front, didn't quite know how to put the race away, but fought back when Spen came at him. So they gapped the rest. I think they're both very, very promising colts and horses to follow.
Huey Bowman had a good day, didn't he?
He did. He's come back in tremendous order, Huey. Yeah. That's the way he is. He just rides so well. On to race four, and Mark Connors has got Dylan's Romance. He's a rising seven-year-old in career-best form. He's won three of his last four, brings up career win number 10 at Rose Hill yesterday.
Dylan's Romance with stop-start tactics and got away at the top of the lane. Leads by two, Semper Fidelis. Ivy's Court whacking away, so too Waking Moment. Primitivo getting into his gears, then Hogmanay and Emma Rock. But at the 200, it's Dylan's Romance. Hard up against the inside. Three clear from Waking Moment, Emma Rock, Hogmanay, then Primitivo. But it's all Dylan's Romance, and it's been a gun front-running ride by Tim Clark. Dylan's Romance by four. Emma Rock second, Hogmanay third.
Yeah, really good win. It just exploded at about the 300. Dylan's Romance gapped them, and away he went, the stable stalwart. 50 starts now. They're the type of horses you like. 50 starts, 10 wins.
He earns money every prep for his connections. And he's a homebred too, Mark. He bred the horse. So
that's satisfying, isn't it?
Oh, fantastic.
So we'll have a chat with Mark a little bit later on in the program.
Exactly. On to the feature race of the day, the Winter Stakes. We mentioned earlier about Coolmore. They had a big few hours, starting with Eckstein at Rose Hill.
Cradle Mountain passing the 400. Still a length clear from First Hand. Stampede runs on, then followed by Goodfella getting out. Eckstein runs on. Goulwa, Nicky's Gold, then Tester Shadow and Utipri. Cradle Mountain at the 150 in front. A wall's coming. Goulwa, Eckstein, Nicky's Gold out wider. Goulwa, Eckstein hit the lead together. Nicky's Gold coming late. It's Eckstein. Eckstein won the winner stakes from either Goulwa or Nicky's Gold. Cradle Mountain a close...
It was a good win from Exxon. We'll speak to Tom Magnier about that, following off the disappointment probably in the Tats Tiara. But Blake Shin, now off to Hong Kong for 6 months.
I wonder if he's thinking, am I doing the right thing? Because he's never ridden better, Blake. He is just riding so well at the moment. And I think his percentage of winning seconds and thirds is about 70% of rides to placings at the moment, which is unbelievably high.
Okay.
And his winning strike rate's about 26-27%, which is nation's best alongside Willie Pike. So he's riding so, so well, as is this young apprentice. His name is Blake McDougall. I think he's a star young rider, and he did everything right on Handle the Truth in the last.
Handle the Truth is getting the split now as well. Then Thy Kingdom Come, Old Man Sam, and Drakenfels out wider. Handle the Truth went to Oxford Tycoon at the 200 metres mark. Then followed Jack's Bar, Thy Kingdom Come. Drakenfels late. Handle the Truth got clear. 75 left to run from Oxford Tycoon. Handle the Truth. Handle the Truth too good by 2.5. Oxford Tycoon second.
There you go. Great win for Blake. We'll have him on the program as well. Handle the Truth might now be a Kosciuszko horse. In fact, well and truly in the market at $15. The favourite there at Victorum, $4. And then Noble Boy at $4.60. Can I just ask you, do you know how to spell Kosciuszko? No problem now.
Getting used to it now. It's the hardest word in the
English language.
It's
the world's hardest word, yeah. It's Polish Explorer, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. I can't believe you've been so dismissive.
No, I don't.
So I've got a bit of European influence now.
Your trip to Slovakia. Worldly.
Have you been to Slovakia?
World travel, you and your...
we're going to speak to Blake McDougall as well. Over 100 winners for the season.
Exactly. So, speaking of international, overnight the July Cup, a couple of potential Everest runners were in the field. One of them absolutely blows his rivals away.
And 10 Sovereigns out in front, drifting to the centre of the course, but has the lead, chased now by Sabre Companion Fairyland and by Advertise as they race up the hill. And 10 Sovereigns has served it up to them today. He's 2.5 lengths clear, 3 lengths, and wins brilliantly. From Advertise in second, Fairyland third.
Right, we're looking at the market here for the Everest.
Kosciuszko up there.
Yeah,
the Polish Explorer.
Ray,
yeah.
Ray, what I'm doing... Mate, it's a bit of theatre. I'm getting there, right? Fairdicum. So, yes, we're looking at the market now for the Everest, and the incredible thing is 10 Sovereigns is not in it.
You reckon that the tab price assessors will be leaping out of bed? They've got to change this market now.
Absolutely. Probably got a little alert on their phone or something like that. So, there we go. And who would be the slot holder? Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, Coolmore own the horse.
There you go.
So we'll talk to Tom Magnus shortly. They've got a few irons in the fire.
What are the other options for them?
They've got a very nice rising three-year-old called Yes, Yes, Yes.
City Ford says yes more often.
Oh, very quick off the mark, yeah. Very quick. Promising horse, he's in the Everest mix. Got a couple of sprinters even in America as well. So,
okay.
And they've got time, haven't they, Jim? They own their slot. They can sit back. Oh, we'll ask Tom Magnan. No point asking me. Tom Magnan will tell us what their tactics are.
13:53:50. Tell you what, that head injury assessment. Were you allowed to continue?
Nine concussions. Me? How about you?
Nine.
Yeah.
Do you remember how many?
One of them I was knocked out for about probably 3 hours.
Three hours?
I can't remember a thing for 3 hours. I was shot to pieces.
Okay, that is very serious. On the back of what the Sun Herald have produced today with Steve Folks, giving his brain, was studied after his premature death and was found to be suffering from CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Let's go to the open line now, 13:53:53 is that number. Ron's on the line. G'day, Ronnie.
Hey, Jimmy and Ray. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Ron.
How are you?
Terrific.
Welcome back, Jimmy.
Thank you, Ron. What do you got for us, mate?
Oh, rivalries.
Yes.
Going back a bit. Celtic and Rangers and Scottish.
That's still going, isn't it?
Yes.
It's been a long-term rivalry, that one. The old firm.
Oh, mate. Yeah. And that were the supporters, not the players.
That's right. That's
and if
right.
you look at the history of Manly Warringah, how they had to... their rivalry against the Mighty Bears, you know, it was pretty savage because North Sydney were trying to keep Manly out, you know, and it was not until 47, so that was a huge rivalry.
Yes.
And, Athol George Mully and George Moore, they just wouldn't even talk to each other, the two jockeys.
Is that right, Raymond?
Weren't great friends. No.
Weren't great friends. Good on you, Ronnie.
Good call, Ronnie.
Good nomination there.
I reckon Ronnie will be cheering home Zach Purton this afternoon. He needs five winners at Sha Tin today to break the all-time record for most wins in a Hong Kong season. This is the last meeting in Hong Kong. He's currently on 166 wins for the season. Joe Maria rode 170 a few years back. So, and he's ridden... six winners four times this season, so it's not beyond Zach Purton to ride five today.
Is there no more racing till the end of the month?
That's
or something?
It. Their season closes
right.
now.
Okay. Here's one that comes in from Mark from Parks via SMS. Talk topic. Parks Spacemen versus the Forbes Magpies in Group 11. Both teams produce no matter where they are on the table. Okay. That's a good one. We like that.
What was your great rivalry when you...
Your
part of the world.
Everyone liked beating Wagga.
Okay.
Any sport, any
smoke.
Time. Yeah, it was. The big smoke. Yeah, and they thought everything come their own way. Terrible Wagga. 13:53:53, the open line number. Dougie's on the line. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Yeah,
really well, mate.
Morning, Doug.
Yeah, I was just wondering about Penrith making the grand final this year. I just wonder if they do.
Ooh. Hang on a minute, Dougie. They were running second last a couple of weeks ago.
Six losses in a row, suddenly six wins in a row. Well, they got themselves back into the eight, Doug, so they can start building from here, but they can't afford to have any more losses because it's very tight there around that eighth spot now, Jim.
Yeah, and Mike Query was a good commentator for the wrestling on TV all the time when I see.
Yeah, he certainly was. Dougie.
Yeah, what if he's still alive?
Mike Cleary, from what I understand, most definitely is still alive.
He'd
be
a good legend, Mike Cleary.
Yeah, have we not had
him? No, I think we have.
Yeah, okay, all right, well, we'll look at that. How we got to commentary... on the
not
wrestling,
sure,
I don't know. But anyway, Dougie's taken us there, so we do appreciate that. 13:53:53, the open line number. Let's go to another caller on the line. No, we've actually haven't got another caller on the line. No.
Going well this morning, aren't we?
This is the instruction I just got from Hamish. I said, we're going to have someone else on the line. Okay, for those people who don't know, the names come up on the phone box here and it tells you. And you know what Hamish said? No, that's just someone talking.
Yeah, I know.
To who? For what?
I guess.
When?
I guess it's our fault again because when the call is ready to go, they go green and this is still grey, so...
Further head injury assessments coming Ray and my way during the course of this break. After that, we'll be back with more.
Mum, do you want to hear something unheard of?
Yes.
A Bingley bonus gift card on all TVs 65 inches and above.
Say that again.
A Bingley bonus gift card on all TVs 65 inches and above.
Wow.
Ever heard that before?
Yes, twice.
When?
Just now.
Mum, this is huge. I'm going to be working around the clock.
That's unheard of.
A bonus 10% gift card on TVs 65 inches and above from our huge range at the home of TV.
Bingley.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and coming soon to Liverpool.
Lazarus, twice named New Zealand Horse of the Year. Lazarus, also named 3-year-old, 4-year-old and 5-year-old Pacer of the Year. Lazarus, an Australasian Grand Circuit champion for 2 years in a row. And at the time, as a precocious 2-year-old, Lazarus paced the fastest 2-year-old mile ever down under with a final quarter of 25-1. Lazarus, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the TAB app or at your local. The Kosciuszko, tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Three of them coming down past the 150. Sacred Day, Four Clues Bay, Suppressor the centre. Sacred Day on the inside. Will it last? Yes, it will. Sacred Day defeats Suppressor and third Four Clues Bay.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. That was Sacred Day winning the Grafton Cup. Jimmy, this is from Steve. Guys, are there any Aussies at all? They want England to win tonight. I'm like most people, full on supporting the Kiwis. What's even worse is that an Australian, Trevor Bayliss, is the Pommy coach.
I've got to say, what a great fellow Trevor Bayliss is. And I tell you what, the success that he has had as a cricket coach, he's revamped this England side. Mm. They play a dominant form of one-day cricket, don't they? When they're going.
Yeah. I read an interesting article where Steve Waugh was quoted yesterday saying that England really should be regarded as one of the all-time great ODI sides, but they need to win this World Cup to do so.
If they don't,
they're falling over at the big hurdle again. But he thinks that from 1 to 11,
yes,
they match up with any of the great ODI sides of all time.
$1.30.
A two-horse race.
$3.60 New Zealand.
Gee, I tell you what, that's not bad value, the Kiwis. On to Rosehill yesterday, and I was in Dylan's Romance. We mentioned earlier Jim Stable stalwart for Mark Connors. It was his 10th career win. Mark's on the line. Mark, good morning. To be fair, Dylan's Romance might not be one of the all-time greats, but you'd love to be an owner because he produces each and every preparation. He did so again yesterday.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy and Ray. You know, they're just horses that keep the stable going, especially this time of the year in the winter. He's an old marvel.
Mm. Is he getting better and better, Mark? I think the quote from you is that he was in great shape and looked fantastic.
Well, he was, and you know, this preparation, he's really stepped up, that's for sure. He's won three of his last four, and that was at Canterbury. Just everything went wrong. He was slow out of the gate, and he got taken on in front, and they went too fast.
Mm.
You just can't do that, and he just ran out of petrol, and yesterday got the right run and produced the goods.
And the ride needs to be commended to Mark. We know yesterday it was very gusty, the winds out there, and he's a front runner, Dylan's Romance, so you're not going to get much cover when you're out there on your own. So when Timmy Clark was able to get those two or three pretty cheap sectionals mid-race, that was probably the winning factor for Dylan's Romance.
Oh, definitely, and that's where the races are won or lost. You definitely won at that stage of the race. Just give him a bit more kick at the top of the straight, like you've seen, and then you just put him away, and it was just great to see because he's been such a great horse to us.
Yeah, with due respect to who he was up against, Mark, that it was about the 300 or the 350 where he just went bang and put four or five lengths between he and the rest of the field. So it shows that, I'm not going to say brilliance, but a little bit of acceleration there from Dylan's Romance.
Well, he's a tough old war horse. When you ask him, he always sort of tries to go to war for you, and that's what he done yesterday. Yeah, it was a fantastic ride by Tim and a great effort by the horse.
And managing a horse like him, Mark, he's had a fair bit of racing, but he seems to thrive on it. Is he an easy horse to train?
Well, we've changed a few things around in this preparation, and it's definitely working. He had a few runs there early in the preparation where we were running 3 weeks in a row. and that really sort of got him into the zone, and now he's sort of been able to tick him over, and he's really happy doing that. No galloping on the track, he just goes to the race.
Yeah, okay. Give us an understanding of just what a horse like this means to the stable. Where he's so consistent.
Mark bred him.
You did breed him, which is obviously very satisfying. But there's a check coming in, you know, all the time, which is pretty handy as well, I'd imagine, Mark.
Oh, definitely. And, we're not a big stable. We have sort of 14 to 16 horses. We haven't got those high-profile horses. So yep. We need these type of horses that midweek and, you know, they occasionally pop up on a Saturday. And, you know, it definitely helps pay a few bills. And now we just got to keep finding them. And, between him and his sister, they're Celtic Love. They've just been doing great for the stable. And that's what keeps the stables going.
Mm. And, Mark, the race industry never stops. Hawkesbury on today. And... gee, I think since Sokova, your only runner out there in race six, I think she's a tremendous chance here third up.
I think so too. I think her first two runs back from the spell have been fantastic. She ran third at Canterbury, at a big price, and then she ran fourth the other day. Probably just didn't handle the real heavy track yet on the Kensington, and back to her, I think it's a soft five today, probably right up a rally. Drawn a little bit sticky, but she's, Michaela will give her a good ride, I'm sure, and she's going to be pretty strong at the finish, I hope.
There is a downside to this, Mark, and that is that Ray's put Sensacova on top. So,
got to carry me, mate.
It's past scratching time. I can't even get out now.
Is that something that you do, Mark? You have a look and see what Ray Thomas has hit and then adjust accordingly?
Must do that before scratching.
Now, a little birdie told me you're a Dogs fan. Is that right, Mark?
No, I'm a Dragons fan.
Oh, Dragons. Not this afternoon?
It hasn't been a great year for us, but it's better than the Dogs, that's for sure.
Will you be home in time from Hawkesbury to watch, because it's a 6 o'clock game tonight against the Raiders?
Well,
must-win game for the Dragons.
Yeah, there's about eight sides that had must-win games this weekend.
I think about our last seven games have been
must-win
games. It's been like that. Hey, Mark, well done yesterday. Great to see, I won't say the old boy, but rising seven-year-old. But good win, great win for the stable, and appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mark.
There he is, Mark Connors, trainer of Dylan's Romance. There's only 4 days left to get your Play for Purpose Arapple tickets. Almost got that right.
Look, we are struggling this morning.
Tell you what. Coach Steve and Coach Tanya.
We'll get a pep talk at the news break.
They can't wait to get us at half-time.
And the news break. It's going to be scalding stuff, won't it?
They say there's only one blow-up per year, right? I reckon Coach Steve and Coach Tanya have saved it for this week. You know?
Blistering attack,
Play for Purpose is Australia's new not-for-profit raffle, helping charities and sporting clubs supercharge their fundraising and giving you the chance to win one of 7,525 amazing prizes worth $500,000. Gee. Wow. Not to mention a first prize package valued at $250,000. Wow. So, what are you waiting for? It's the ultimate win-win raffle. Tickets are selling fast, so... search Play for Purpose and get yours today. T's and C's, permit numbers and tickets available online. This is something for all sporting clubs to look at. Mm. Play for Purpose. Please, gamble responsibly.
Okay, we mentioned earlier, Jim, that Eckstein won the Winter Stakes yesterday, and overnight, 10 Sovereigns was dominant, winning the July Cup at Newmarket in England. Both are raced by Coolmore. We've got Coolmore Australia's boss, Tom Magnier, on the line. Tom, good morning. First, we'll talk about Eckstein. I know you've only recently bought into the mare, but she was fantastic yesterday. Chris Waller mentioned there's a race in 2 weeks' time which would still suit her before she goes to the breeding barn. Will we see Eckstein one more time on the racetrack?
Yeah, morning, guys. That would be the plan. Chris, obviously, you've done a great job with her. She looked great yesterday, and they shouldn't give her a great ride. They're happy to go again, so no problem from my end. She could go in 2 weeks, and then she'll go to the breeding barn then for just after that check.
Yeah, and there's no... I was talking to Ray earlier about why you would do that, and I guess if she's ready to go, you might as well. But if she doesn't do it, there's no problem with that either, Tom.
No, exactly. She's obviously done it. She's got a great pedigree and a great race record. So, it's a bonus from here on in. But we've got a great group of people there. Colin Santry from the farm, he's with the share, and Dad's in there. So we'll
yeah, we'll probably give it one more go and then retire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
It Justify, American Pharaoh, the other international stains, are they in Australia yet, Tom?
They're in quarantine in America, and then the Irish horses are in quarantine in Ireland, and they travel down here in about 2 weeks' time. It all comes around very quickly. I think we'll have our first foals on the ground in the Hunter Valley in a couple of weeks. So wow. You know, the stud season is really upon us. But to have horses like Justify and American Pharaoh coming down from America, it's very exciting. But it'll be a pretty nervous time for my dad and now having those two horses on the same train. So
yeah,
two Triple Crown winners, Tim.
Hey, this is going to sound a bit macabre, but Manchester United now don't travel their team on the one plane. Would you keep the horses on separate planes?
Yeah, you know, that's something that we obviously discussed. But I think some people might tell you you're doubling the risk of something happening to the horse then. So, listen, I guess, you know, we've been traveling horses for a long time. And sure, listen, it's something we don't obviously want to think about. But it's when obviously you're traveling horses from the Northern Hemisphere down south, it's you effectively have your business up in the air.
Yeah, exactly. I can only imagine the value of those two stallions. What about the performance of 10 Sovereigns? We heard the replay this morning. The horse is not in the market for the Everest. When do you start looking very closely at that, Tom, and making a decision about who's going to fill the slot for Coolmore?
Yeah, obviously the horse was very impressive last night. You know, he was a Group 1 winner over... he was a Group 1 winner over 6 furlongs. He did it again yesterday. He was very impressive. The ground was good to stand. We don't have to make a decision today. We've obviously got, you know, horses here like Yes, Yes, Yes with Chris Waller. So I guess we want to see how he's going. So I guess, obviously, look, we'll put 10 sovereigns into the mix now. And, you know, we don't have to make a decision today, but it's a good problem to have. You're looking at different horses, but yeah, we're not close to making a decision there. But we will put them on the radar now.
Yeah, and I guess Tom Aidan O'Brien would have learnt a fair bit last year when he brought US Navy Flag down. The weather didn't suit him, but at least with that experience of US Navy Flag running in the Everest, Aidan and the team know what to expect if they do decide to send 10 sovereigns down.
Yeah, and to be fair to Dad. And the Coolmore team, everybody, you know, around the world, this is where we want to race the horses. We want to be racing the horses in Australia. You know, to be fair, the prize money down here is exceptional. The buzz that's being created before these races, you just don't see it anywhere in the world. So really, you know, that's why we send down our Justifiers and Pharaohs down here.
Yeah.
This is really where the business is heading. And, you know, To have a chance to bring 10 sovereigns down here would be amazing. But, you know, if we can get a horse, if the horse like Yes, Yes, Yes comes back in good shape, that would be exciting too.
What about quarantine restrictions and so forth? When would you start putting 10 sovereigns through that process just in case?
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely, like Aidan would definitely be saying, right, that's his pick for the Everest. And
right.
He'll be, you know, looking at that. But obviously, we have to make the decision and see how things are looking down here. So obviously, we're you know, he's just, as I said, he's our sort of selection from a European point of view.
Yep.
But we have to see what happens down here. But you know, the horse won well yesterday. We want to see how he pulls up, and you know, we're not in a place to make a decision yet. But as I said, he'll be considered.
Terrific. Great few hours for Coolmore yesterday, Tom, with Eckstein winning at Rose Hill. You were there to see. I think it was Colm's 50th birthday yesterday, wasn't it, I think, Tom?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. So he made a good celebration last night.
Exactly. Happy birthday to Colm. And obviously 10 Sovereigns was outstanding overnight and really interesting to see what Coolmore decide in coming weeks for the Everest. Tom, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No problem. Thanks a million, Ray.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
There he is, Tom Magnier from Coolmore. Yes, yes, yes. $51 at tab for the Everest, but the favourite, Santa Ana Lane, at $5. And then Osborne Bull, $7. Pia Rada is at $8. And if we look at the slot holders, Santa Ana Lane, of course, held by Tab Corp. Arcadia Queen, the star. Classic legend,
from Bonho and Carmel Size Racing, Pierrata from Aquas Farms, Yulong Investments got Red Zell, Inglis In Her Time, to be announced, Australian Turf Club, James Harron Bloodstock, Chris Waller Racing, Coolmore, and to be announced for to be announced.
That's the Damien Fowler slot, which was forfeited. The race in New South Wales board will meet this week. Tenders for that slot closed late on Friday afternoon. They'll make that call sometime this week as to who has won that tender to have that slot for 2019, Jim.
Jimmy and Ray, great rivalries. The Western Suburbs Magpies up against the Manly Warringah Seagulls, i.e. the Fibros versus the Silvertails. That's from Marcus at Canberra. Have you seen that documentary?
Which one's that? I'm just reading the text below.
Ray, who's this,
Ray, don't think that Jimmy will be out of pocket when you win the quiz at the end of the year. He will be paying you with my wingman beers, been promising me since being best caller on March 10, 18 weeks ago.
That's any chance you could take over the wingman distribution? Because I know at least you keep the promises, Brian. Well, I'll tell you what, Brian, I think we've gone back.
Be careful. Where are you going?
Listen,
where
pal. Going
with it? Well, no, be careful. No, Brian deserves his carton.
No, hang on. I don't think Brian won the carton. I think we've gone back and checked the record books, and we've got to check on that.
Controversy.
But there was, I think it was Brian, but someone's claimed the cartons when they didn't actually win it. I'm just Brian, I'm not accusing you, however.
Be careful. Brian, we'll look into this. I think there's a carton wingman beer coming
way. Brian, you need to be careful, all right? 1353-53, the Apple line number.
Poor guys. Been waiting 18 weeks to have a beer.
Oh, don't tell me you can't go down and buy one another. Anyway, we'll get it to you if you have indeed won it in good time, Brian, in good time. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanwith. Scratchings around the country.
Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Hawkesbury and Grafton, Sunshine Coast in Queensland and Mount Gambier in South Australia. Starting with Hawkesbury, the weather is fine. The track is soft 5. The rail is out 4 metres from the 1300 to the winning post. True the remainder. Penetrometer 5.06 and 8 scratchings. Races 1 through to 3 are clear. Start at race 4. Take out number 5, Sweetest Eyes. 6, Perry Gord. 7, Bright Idea. 10, Not Surprising. And 11, Hill of Grange. 5, 6, 7, 10 and 11. Race 5, number 4, Arrogante and 9, Glamour Fox, 4 and 9. Race 6, number 1, Pride of Darcy, number 1. And race 7 at Hawkesbury is clear. Grafton, the weather is fine. The track a good 4, the rail true and 16 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, take out number 1, Euro Hustler. 2, Fast Song. 4, Merge. 8, Nullarbor, 12, Bring Me Some, and 15, Green Cash. 1, 2, 4, 8, 12, and 15. Race 3, number 1, Round of Applause, and 5, Bay Shot, 1 and 5. Race 4, number 1, Wind in the Willow, and 5, Caesar's Ghost, 1 and 5. Race 5, number 6, All But Gone, number 6. Race 6, number 7, Princess Snowy, number 7. Race 7, number 1, Bulgari, 2, Jakuta, 5, See It Through, and 16, Our Boy Ben. 1, 2, 5, and 16 out of race 7 at Grafton. And the Sunshine Coast, the weather is fine, the track is soft 6, the rail at 5 metres the entire course, penetrometer 6.71, and 14 scratchings. Race 1, take out 3, Euro Hustler, and 7, Merge, 3 and 7. Race 2, number 1, Bay of Dragons, and 7, So Stunning, 1 and 7. Out of race 3, number 3, Sequoia Bleu, number 3. Race 4, number 3, Dirty Little Secret, number 3. Race 5, number 7, Genoa, number 7. Out of race 6, number 1, Blue Book, number 1. Race 7, number 1, Mr. Monaco, 3, Bronzed Venom, 9, Velites, 1, 3 and 9, and race 8, take out 4, Ricchetti, 9, Atlantic Rose, and 10, River of Love. 4, 9 and 10 from race 8 at the Sunshine Coast.
Thanks, Tan. Tips today, James. Race 5, I think, number 2, Blazing, trained by Lee Curtis at Rose Hill. Nice
horse. Where's Lee trained?
At Rose Hill. Just a slight error in our publication this morning, but
Oh, that wouldn't worry Lee too much, would it?
No, but no. I just want to point out, definitely domiciled at Rosehill, and this is a nice horse blazing. And we heard from Mark Connors, race 6, number 8, Sensacova, prime for today.
I just see Libby Hopwood had it on top too.
Did she?
Sensacova.
Good judge, Libby.
Yeah, there you go.
Hardest worker in this building, Libby Hopwood. She's a star.
There you go.
On to Grafton, race 1, number 6, Winged Poet.
Wingman.
Speak, we'll talk after the news break. After we get scolded by
yeah, that's it.
And,
yeah.
And then race 4, number 3, Tan Tat Nova.
There we go. All right, we'll put those out on social media as well. I can't believe it, Raymond. We've actually done this before the 8 o'clock news is due. So it brings us to a continuation of our talk topic today. Mm. Great rivalries. Morning, boys. Great rivalries. Cootamundra and Tamora. That's from Jason. Oh, the Bulldogs
you said
and the Dragon.
Cooter and Wagga, didn't you?
Cooter and Wagga. Cooter and Young. Mm-hmm. Didn't like Young.
Okay.
Not that fond of Gundagai either. Junie, take or leave them.
This is a good one. This is from EJ. Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. Great sporting rivalries. Jimmy and Ray, brains against their mouths. It looks like a no-win situation. EJ, you've nailed that one. This one's from Rob. Great rivalries. Martina and Chris. Martina Navratilova and Chris Evert-Lloyd in tennis. They were friendly rivalries, weren't they? Friendly foes.
They are great friends right now. They are great friends. 1353-53, that's the open line number. We'll take a break. After the break, we've got Zorba with his thoughts on the week that was in rugby league. And, of course, the Roar is in. Another Event Cinemas quiz.
I'm Sarah Warmby. Hundreds of thousands of Australian families could be hit with a surprise tax bill as the government begins reviewing their income. The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald report that the Department of Human Services is set to check families' actual incomes against the estimated income they entered into the MyGov website in July 2018. Childcare providers believe that about a third of the 1.1 million families receiving the childcare subsidy will be hit with tax charges from July 2029. The Asylum Seeker Resource Centre is calling for an inquiry into the death of a man at a detention centre in Melbourne's northwest. The 23-year-old died at a government facility in Broadmeadows yesterday morning in non-suspicious circumstances. Lawyer Karen Graydon from the centre has told the ABC the inquiry should be thorough.
I think that such an inquiry should look into the refugee determination processes he was subject to, his experiences in immigration detention, and what kind of support was provided to him.
A man is dead after his car rolled over near a coastal town in South Australia. A passing motorist found the car on the Lincoln Highway south of Cowell on the Eyre Peninsula yesterday morning. The 56-year-old driver of the Holden Commodore sedan died at the scene, with major crash investigators investigating the crash. Western Australia police are searching for the driver who hit a pedestrian and left them with life-threatening injuries. CCTV footage shows the ute swerving before mounting the curb and hitting the victim. The motorist then fled the scene. Anyone with information is asked to come forward. Overseas, the massive rainstorm Barry was briefly upgraded to a hurricane before making landfall along Louisiana's coast and being downgraded to a tropical storm. The biggest risk to New Orleans is flooding as the region is drenched again. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
The eye or center of the slow-moving storm named Barry came ashore near Intercoastal City, about 150 miles west of New Orleans. The National Hurricane Center is warning while the winds are slowing down as the storm inches across Louisiana, anywhere from 10 to 25 inches of rain could cause life-threatening flooding. 14 years ago, it was flooding from Hurricane Katrina that contributed to the loss of life and destruction of huge swaths of one of America's most historic cities. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says the floodgates, as part of the hurricane risk reduction system designed to protect the city, have all been shut and residents urged to shelter in place. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Radio journalist Eduardo Dizon has been shot and killed in the Philippines. The 58-year-old was driving home from work when two gunmen on a motorcycle fired shots into the car. Police are continuing their investigation. And flash floods and landslides in Nepal triggered by monsoon rains have killed 15 people and injured 12 overnight, while another 18 people are missing. The annual monsoon rains, which normally start in June and continue through September, are crucial for Nepal and India, which both depend on the annual downpours for farming, but landslides and floods often result killing scores of people every year. This is AIR News. 173 riders remain in the Tour de France, having completed Stage 8. Terry Daniel has more.
Belgian rider Thomas de Gendt claimed an epic victory in Saint-Étienne, his second one at the Tour de France after the Mont Ventoux in 2016. He was part of a breakaway from the beginning and held off a late challenge by 6 seconds over the 200-kilometre stage. He resisted to the French duo, who rode away from the yellow jersey group with 12.5 kilometres to go. Thibaut Pinot moved to third overall, while Julian Alaphilippe got the lead back by 23 seconds after 2 days of glory for Giulio Ciccone, who remains the best young rider. Aussie Michael Matthews finished fourth in the stage, followed by the green jersey holder Peter Sagan. Terry Daniel, Air Sport.
Melbourne have celebrated skipper Cameron Smith's 400-game milestone with a thumping 40-16 NRL win over Cronulla at Amy Park. There was an 18-all draw between Brisbane and New Zealand and a win for South Sydney. For the second week in a row, the Gold Coast Suns served up a woeful display as Adelaide charged back into the winner's circle with a 23-13, 151-8, 856 AFL win at Metricon Stadium. In the other games, Geelong, Essendon, Hawthorn and Carlton also had wins. Australia's Wallaroos have beaten Japan 34-5. Aussie driver Daniel Ricciardo was qualified seventh on the grid for the British Grand Prix, with Valtteri Bottas taking pole, and Simona Halep has won the women's Wimbledon final. Australian Independent Radio News.
Mum, do you want to hear something unheard of?
Yes.
A Bingley bonus gift card on all TVs 65 inches and above.
Say that again.
A Bingley bonus gift card on all TVs 65 inches and above.
Wow.
Ever heard that before?
Yes, twice.
When?
Just now.
Mum, this is huge. I'm going to be working around the clock.
That's unheard of.
A bonus 10% gift card on TVs 65 inches and above from our huge range at the home of TV.
Bingley.
Hi, I'm Lane Beachley. When it comes to recycling, there aren't always easy answers. But when it comes to recycling printer cartridges, most Australians know what to do, thanks to Cartridges for Planet Ark. That's why we've already recycled 40 million cartridges, or enough to fill 80 Olympic swimming pools. To find your nearest cartridge collection box, or to order one for your workplace, search Cartridges for Planet Ark and get involved today.
Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Why set off for driving when you could be cruising? Right now you can get up to 40% off every guest, only with Royal Caribbean. Don't miss out. Book now. T's and C's apply. At the airport, it's a bit of a punish into the international terminal from both directions. Mast Street to car park. Airport drive very slow as well. And watch out for changes to the M4 around the new tunnels in Homebush and Haberfield. Weekend roadworks in Bringelly has closed Bringelly Road between the Northern Road and Jersey Road. The IKEA clearance is on now. Shop for big savings online and in-store at IKEA Tempe, Rhodes or Marsden Park today. While stocks last, hurry. IKEA clearance ends July 22. I'm Tim Govers, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
The very best of US racing 7 days a week.
Gunrunners on top of the world! He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic!
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, Interstate Weather.
And weather for around Australia today. We'll start off in Perth, James.
Max, why?
Because I've got it all out of sequence here. It's sunny over there. We're heading for a top temperature of 19. I'm still getting through it.
Mm-hmm.
Adelaide, shower or two, maximum of 15 degrees. Melbourne, showers developing, becoming windy, top of 14. Hobart, showers, wind easing, top of 10 degrees in Hobart. Canberra's cold, possible shower, just 9 degrees. Up in Brisbane, sunny day, heading for a top of 19 degrees. Darwin, sunny, always the same, 31 degrees today. And in Sydney, sunny, top temperature of just 16.
Good run by Taylor, gained about 12 metres. Here goes Cook, slithers through, swerves, inside 20, 10 to go, away he goes, Damien Cook goes all the way. Former Queen's Sprint champion, did he sprint? 4 minutes to go. Jerry Evans got a high pass, Papali will score. Papali goes in for a deserved try. Now for
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the second hour of the program, 9 minutes past eight here at the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Coming up very shortly, we'll have Zorba on the line to give us his thoughts in the National Rugby League and, of course, on State of Origin. Blake McDougall will come along for a chat as well. We'll have the Event Cinemas quiz, and we'll also hear from Leo Schlink, who's over there at Wimbledon at the moment preparing. Well, he's wrapping up the women's final and preparing for the big men's final. Of course, we're all excited about that one. There's lots of people wanting to have their say on our talk topic today, Raymond, and that is sporting rivalries on the back of State of Origin on Wednesday night. And just quickly, as we heard in the call there from Rabs, boys, how good was Cam Murray off the bench the other night? He gave New South Wales so much energy, and he came up with a great steal. He's a superstar in the making. Paul at Huskisson. What are you laughing at?
Oh, a couple is a good one. This is from Dave from Wattlegrove. Boys, the obvious rivalry. Jimmy versus everyone during the quiz.
He's been a keen observer of the quiz over a number of years, Dave from Wattlegrove. Yeah, and he's absolutely spot on. Great rivalries. Paul the Chief Harrigan and Mark Spud Carroll. Loved watching that.
Yeah,
that's from
geez,
Steve.
That's good.
It was fantastic.
And one more. Manly Manel. Morning, boys. I've been enjoying the fierce rivalry between Bernard Tomic and Nick Kyrgios to see who's the biggest buffoon in Australian sport.
Yeah, it is tight, isn't it?
Photo finish?
It's a very closely run thing. You know the worst thing that could happen to Nick Kyrgios and Bernard Tomic? Ash Barty. Because it just goes to show, well, this is how you could be.
Yeah, and almost irrelevant, aren't they? Because Ash Barty just, she dominates the headlines now re Australian tennis, and rightly so.
But every second parent in Australia who wants to sit down and talk to their child about how they should be and
like
how
Ash
they
Barty.
Shouldn't
know,
you say, well, look, here's Exhibit A and here's Exhibit B. Now, it's completely up to you.
30, be 53, like Ash Barty.
53. By the way, good morning, Ray and Jimmy. I am truly in awe of you
another
guys.
One.
No, hang on. We got it wrong, but to their benefit, I actually received two cases at Christmas instead of one. So I've not bothered you out of honesty. Well, that's not honest. That's dishonest. The fact I don't want you to add your accounting pressures, Jimmy.
That's the real reason, yeah.
Okay, well, I do appreciate that. Thanks, Ray Rabbit. We do appreciate that. Look, let's go to Zorb now because there's been some fantastic games in the National Rugby League. A big win for the Cam Smith-led Melbourne Storm and an incredible game of State of Origin. All that's happened over the last 4 days. He's joining us on the line. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy. Jimmy, you got back into town at the right time. Wow. What a last couple of days. If you love rugby league, it doesn't get any better in the last few days. A cracker game, three of origin. A super Saturday, a thrill, capped by an achievement that maybe will never be achieved again in our game. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with Cam Smith. There's a bit of resistance, and I've probably had it myself. I'm a lover of Andrew Johns as a player. I thought Jonathan Thurston was superb. Wally Lewis was my hero when I was growing up, but I think we have to say that Cameron Smith, based on the portfolio of achievements that he's been able to put together, he's the greatest of all time. Zorb, what do you think?
Well, 100%. And I go back a little bit further than you.
Yeah.
So it's harder for me to give up, you know, my memories of Churchill and Gasnier and Raper and Fulton. You know, marvellous, marvellous, great players. But, wow, you're right. The achievements of this fellow, I've got to say, congratulations to a couple of excellent veteran journalists in Steve Crawley and Tim Sheridan for their amazing television special to Mark Cameron Smith's 400th game career. If you haven't seen it, make sure you get a replay of it. I saw it last night after the Melbourne Cronulla game, and it was compelling. I watched it straight after that 400th game last night where he steered the Storm to a 40-16 win over Cronulla. And what got me most in that game were the faces of his teammates. They showed what it meant to be part of his team. Now, love him or hate him, you can tell that the players want to play with him and for him.
Yeah.
The face of Brandon Smith when he scored his two tries and he was then embraced by Cameron Smith. Here's a bloke that's spending that much time on the bench. He's got splinters on his backside. He could play 80 minutes in any other team in the NRL, but he's willing to stand by and wait for this man to end his career. It tells it all. Brandon Smith is a gun, but he was smiling as though He was a little puppy dog serving his master. That's what it gave to me last night. It was compelling viewing. They're playing for their skipper, the son of a bricky from Logan, south of Brisbane, which is no heaven on earth, let me tell you. He's surely one of the greatest players of all time, if not the greatest. Mm. And I don't think that I didn't think that I'd ever say that.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, Zor, because we often, we're quick to hand out the brickbats to the NRL when they get things wrong. And over the years, we've been critical that they haven't acknowledged milestone matches well. I think last night, though, the NRL, the pre-game celebrations and what happened as Cameron Smith ran on the field, and the Sharks deserve to be commended as well. It was great for the sport.
Well, it was absolutely sensational. And to mark an occasion that was so very special that all of us have been privileged to watch it. I don't know who's going to beat them. I mean, when you look at it, they've got the best attack in the comp. They've got by far the best defence. They're 6 points clear, but somehow I think the Roosters are lying in wait, and maybe a Smoky somewhere in there that's going to emerge in the next couple of months. It's going to be an exciting run in. Let's go back to excitement to Wednesday night. Mm. What an Origin finale. Jimmy Tedesco, the centre three quarter for Italy in the 2013 World Cup. I had the privilege of going away with that side, and I thought, yeah, you're special, but I didn't think it was that special. I thought it would be a terrific, terrific performance from him in the Origin series, and I think it was fitting that he scored the final touch to what was a great series, and the sight of Blackies Blues going up to the heavens as one was pretty special for all of us that have suffered so much over the last decade of defeats by Queensland. So it was unbelievable, and then we get to last night, and it started off with South pipping Manly 21-20 in a terrific game of football. Manly, I thought, showed great courage to come back in the second half of that game, down 18-6 at halftime. They pulled up to 20-all, and then the Iceman, Adam Reynolds, kicked the field goal. South hung on. There were lots of discussions about some of the refereeing performances in that game, and I must admit, as a Manly man, I was, in the words of a former great Manly man in Rex Mossop, I was flabbergasted when the referee didn't go upstairs for the opening try by Manly's Cade Custer. There were three incidences in the lead up to that try that needed to be checked, and the referee didn't do it. It was crazy, 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 and that's the way they referees the game. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Poor performance. Yeah. Great game.
Yeah. Boy, shouldn't the guys in the bunkers be whispering in the referee's ear and say, go upstairs, go upstairs?
No, I think that's a little bit dangerous.
Something as obvious as that, though, yesterday, Jim.
I think Wayne Bennett said it in the press conference. He's all for backing people to, you know, make the decision on their own, but there was so much going on in that try. Mm. Clearly a knock-on, I would have thought. Hey, in the earlier game, Zorb, Tim Simona, who hadn't played since round 26, 2016, made his return for the Blacktown Workers Seagulls. Where are you on Tim Simona being allowed back into the game of rugby league?
I'm not sure who's behind it, to be honest with you. Jimmy, it's a strange one for me. I mean, I don't think that Desi's behind it. I think it's a Blacktown Workers thing. He was looking for a start, and they're looking for a lift, and they think they've got it with Tim Simona. Look, if he served his time, then I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm all for redemption, and there's plenty of people in the history of the National Rugby League and other sporting codes that have been given second chances.
He looked like he lost a fair bit of weight.
He's lost a lot of weight. Yeah. I reckon he's 5 or 6 kilos down. Apparently,
minimum,
Stephen Hales, the coach of Blacktown, said he's been doing a lot of boxing training, and that's not rugby league specific, quite obviously, and he is that little bit lighter. Cowboys and Dragons in action today. Eels and Tigers as well. But you think if they don't win today, that's it for those two sides, Cowboys and Dragons?
Yeah, just before we get to them, can we just discuss that Brisbane Warriors 18-all draw? It's going to be first draw in our game in 3 years. It's going to be very significant because, you know, that 1 point might be just the one to either to get the Broncos in or get them out. They need to get to 28. and they're now on 15.
Mm.
They play the Bulldogs twice, which may not be as easy as it looks on paper when you look at their respective spots on the competition. But I reckon there's a period where they've got at home, three games at home, just prior to their last game, where they play the Panthers, the Rabbitohs and the Eels. They need to win those three games at home to have a hope of making the eight. If they don't, they're gone. And they had their opportunities last night and didn't take them.
Yep.
Everyone looks at their side and says, oh, they're young and they're this and they're that. But that's the side that Anthony Seibold wanted. And that weird little thing at half time where there were little PlayStations set up in the dressing room, a little group of players. Went to each table. It was like play school. Incredible.
It's 2019, Zorba.
2019, it's not working.
Yeah.
Get back to what used to work at the Broncos.
Yeah, no, good point. Hey, Zorba, question to you and to Jimmy. Like last night, both sides had their chances to win that game. I think each team had, I think, at least three shots at field goal and golden point. Does golden point work? Because it becomes a drop kick-a-thon. That's all it is.
It does, but it's exciting. I mean, I think at the end of the game, a draw is enough. But people love it. It's not going to go away. We've complained about it for years. I tell you what it does do. It just shows you what pressure's on the players to kick a field goal. I mean, Cody Nicarima had the golden opportunity. He missed four. That's almost a record, I reckon.
Mm.
Four misses in 10 minutes.
Mm.
The Broncos weren't any better. Anthony Milford had cracks, and they're struggling a fair bit. I don't think some of their young kids that they've thrust in are as good as they think they are. And if they do make the eight, they're only making the numbers up Broncos anyway.
All right. Cowboys-Dragons?
I'm going for the Dragons today. I think that they have a bigger need to win than the Canberra Raiders, although Ricky Stewart will be driving the Raiders on in this game. But I just think that George Illawarra at home, with it all on the line, there's no tomorrow if they get beaten, so they've got to win that one. I'm going for them. I think the Roosters will end the Cowboys, any hopes they've had of winning and getting into the finals is gone. As I said, it's last right Sunday, and losses to the Cowboys and St. George Illawarra today end their hopes. The Cowboys have found it, the NRL, without the genius of Jonathan Thurston, an impossible task. The roster on paper looks good, but the coach, Paul Green, hasn't been able to come up with anything but excuses this year. I think it puts a real question mark on him as a coach. Easy to coach when you've got big game players that that know how to win clutch games. Big game in Gosford today. We'll see what the Cowboys are made of. And as I said, the Dragons in the same boat. A loss will put them out. I don't think they'll be there. I think the draw to make the finals too hard for them. I think Penrith and Parramatta, they've got the best draws, and I think they'll both be there.
Fair enough. Hey, Zorb, so what's your zapper for today, mate?
My zapper today is Roosters all up at the line, into Parramatta all up at the line, into St. George Illawarra all up at the line, and Canberra are going to be a mini England next year with George Williams coming to join his England teammates at the Canberra Raiders. Jackson Hastings is going to replace Williams under Adrian Lamb at Wigan, and Ricky will bring George Williams, and he's an international classy 5'8", and he will be a terrific player for Canberra.
That's what they need too. That's exactly what they're looking for that squad too, and a good compliment to Jack White and playing at 5'8". So Roosters minus 10.5 into the Eels minus 2.5 into the Dragons plus 1.5. We've got the Zorba Zapper up, and there's a special price on that one, $8. And you'll find it on the app or the website. It's under today's specials. Today's special. So look for that and you'll get that special price, all courtesy of Zorba. Good on you, mate. We'll speak again next week.
Good on you, boys.
Thanks, Pete.
There he is, Zorba, with his thoughts on the game. We'll take your thoughts on his thoughts. 1353 53 is the open line number. We should have asked Zorba about
great rivalries.
Yeah, exactly. Fibros and Silver Tails is another one. The Dundas Tiger. Mario Fennick and Benny Elias.
Mm.
That
was a great rivalry, wasn't it?
This one's for me, and it's an obvious one, but it's a very, very good one. Ali and Frazier.
Say no more, Raymond. Say no more. A break, and then we're back with more.
Looking for a way to add more fun and excitement to your next racing bet? Well, you need to try Tab's new Odds and Evens. Just choose whether the first two place getters will be odds, evens, or split, or you can spin the wheel for a suggested bet. Odds and Evens is available on all Australian racing, so whether it's horses, harness, or greyhounds, take a spin on the first two place getters for a simple and fun way to bet. Tab, who are you backing? Available for New South Wales Tab customers only. See tab.com.au for full T's and C's. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications have a fabulous filly by a champion from a champion to be trained by Kieran Maher. Arrowfield Stud has joined us in this filly by Snitzel, Australia's champion sire. From fictional account, Ireland's champion mare was a stakes winner at Ascot and Nakara. Be part of our dynamic Arrowfield and Kieran Maher team in our Super Snitzel filly for $12,825 per share. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
Mum, do you want to hear something unheard of?
Yes.
A Bingley bonus gift card on all TVs 65 inches and above.
Say that again.
A Bingley bonus gift card on all TVs 65 inches and above.
Wow.
Ever heard that before?
Yes, twice.
When?
Just now.
Mum, this is huge. I'm going to be working around the clock.
That's unheard of.
A bonus 10% gift card on TVs 65 inches and above from our huge range at the home of TV.
Bingley.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and coming soon to Liverpool.
Gone. That's nine down. Perry picks up a seventh. Best bowling figures ever for an Australian in one day international cricket. And boy, has she deserved it. She's been quite superb.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
7 for 22, Elise Perry.
She's a star, isn't she? Yeah. Absolute star.
Yeah.
You don't agree?
No, I'm just thinking of all the female sportswomen from Australia that are just dominating. Ash Barty's the world number one. Sally Fitzgibbon. Elise Perry. It's
pretty good.
Bit of work to do from the males of the species, I would have thought. Anyway, 1353-53, the Apple Line number. We're looking for the great rivalries throughout the course of sporting history. We're going to take callers right now. Let's go to them. Because Adrian's on the line. G'day, Adrian.
G'day, boys. Morning. How are you, Raymond?
Morning, Adrian.
Legend Thomas.
How are you,
Jimmy,
mate?
The wingman. What's going on?
Yeah, right. I don't know where you're going with this, Adrian, but we're ready for the sucker punch.
We're happy after Origin, not happy after the World Cup, but anyway.
Yeah. Oh, well, mate, I'm happy after the Rabbitohs. It's not our four-game losing streak, but I tell you what, couldn't agree more with Zorban. I didn't expect it from him about that first try that Manly got. That was disgraceful. And the refereeing during that game was pretty ordinary, to be honest.
It wasn't good. I called that game, and it's just obvious. It bounced about three times, Moses Suli's head and then hands, and then you just saw it was a sloppy try. Have a look at it.
What did you think about the other one where Moses Suli sort of hits the ball with his hand and it allegedly goes backwards? What did you think about that one?
Happy for it to be called a knockback.
Explain to me why. Why in most other games, when you don't have control over the ball and you knock it like that, it's a knock-on, and then you go to the bunker. And I'm sorry, mate, I can't cop that because he's not facing his own in-goal area. He's on the side. He's trying to take an advantage, and he's got no control over the footy. It's a knock-on. It's got to be.
You need to have one rule
and just stick with it.
The point you make, Adrian, is that, yes, throughout so many times this year, there's been balls that you thought were knocked back or knocked sideways, and they've been called knock-on. That one I thought was a knock-back. That was called knock back, and it was play on. I tell you what was interesting, and I appreciate the call, Adrian. I tweeted something out last night after that was Isaiah Papali'i was found to have knocked on in that try. Would have won the Warriors the game against the Broncos.
Yep.
And it was the third camera angle that made it obvious that
I thought that there was a finger on it. So I said, well done. You know, they get maligned, and often quite rightly so, but they got that correct call in this game. Now, James Stokes via Twitter came back and said, yeah, but that was a really obvious one. They should be getting that one right, right? That was his take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Marty Farr, who said, you're kidding, aren't you? There was no way that was a knock-on, and I'm backing the Broncos.
Extraordinary.
So everyone's, you can't win.
Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's got a different take on things. But I'll go back to my point previously. You sort of dismissed it. But why can't the bunker come in and say, guys, you've got to go upstairs and look at that? If it's plainly obvious, why can't they do that?
So the reason I am not in favour of that is you don't want the referees running around having the bunker talk to them all the time, which I think is what
to.
We get.
But they don't have to. And for situations like this, surely, if they want to get it right, they want to say, hey, boys, make sure you go upstairs. It's pretty simple.
To be honest, Raymond, if I'm sitting there and watching that try unfold yesterday and I'm in the bunker, I'm there going, all right, I'm getting everything right, ready to have a look at that, because obviously he's going to send it upstairs, right? You don't even have to tip to him.
You only have to watch him and watch what the referee's about to do. And as he's about to water try, just say, hang on, just come upstairs, check upstairs. It's pretty simple. It won't take long. And no. Then more likelihood of getting it right rather than creating the controversy. You don't think so?
If it was that easy in practice as it sounds in theory, then I'd be all for it, Raymond.
Okay. No, I know where you're coming from. You don't want the referees getting all these people talking in there.
So what's he going to do?
He's doing it anyway.
He's there in the end goal. He looks to the touch judge on one side and the touch judge on the other side, and then he's got the whistle here, and you're saying right now the bunker's got to say, hang on, mate, I'm making the action of pointing to the spot.
Pause for 1 second. It gives a couple of seconds and gives the bunker an opportunity to say, no, you better go upstairs.
All right. Anyway, we can't agree on that.
Fair enough.
Has Zorba ever got a zapper up? Don't think so. Yeah, he has. Absolutely he has. That's an $8 one today too, by the way, and we'll keep you updated with that.
Love this one.
Great rivalries. Paleface Adios and Hondo Grattan.
Great.
Thanks,
bullet.
Dean from Cowra.
It's like trying to pick your favourite child. It was impossible to pick when those two raced. They were just such popular horses, and they fought tooth and nail all the time. It was great racing.
What, you haven't got a favourite child? That's pretty easy for me.
You can't say things like that. What happens if the Smith brood are listening to their dad? Hang on.
Well, then they'll
know
the truth.
Which one's dad's favourite?
Then you can play them off against each other, you know. Oh, did I say that out loud?
You did.
Sorry. Morning, boys. Great rivalry. Black Caviar and Haylist. Cheers, Kev from Cabargo.
Poor old Haylist. It was a bit one-sided, but
poor old Haylist.
He tried hard, didn't he? He was probably the only horse who really made Black Caviar work hard.
Yeah, he did. Morning, boys. As a Took supporter, it hurts to agree how good Cam Murray was on Wednesday night, but one thing he seems to be left out of is the last play. He took the ball to the line, saw it was on out wide, gives it to Mitchell Pearce, who throws the ball. The rest is history. But it never happens without Murray's vision and courage to go for it. That's from Jamie.
Good point.
There's another good point.
He played a great game, didn't he?
The one-on-one strip was crucial.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a long-term Origin player.
I agree. 13-53-53, the open line number. Anthony is there. G'day, Anthony.
He's a good side, Tony Turnbull, isn't he, Ray?
He's running a lot of champions of the sport for the Turnbull family, aren't they?
Yeah, they're
great tradition. Great family tradition in the sport, Anthony. Yeah.
It was a good luck tonight, Ray. You're a little bit nervous, or what's going on?
Struggling today, eh?
No, it was good luck tonight with Roger.
Oh, Federer, yeah.
Tony knows she's going to be second fiddle tonight, doesn't she? She understands that.
Oh, I better not go.
Mate, is that nervous here? You should see it, Anthony.
Tanya will be watching it too. She'll stay awake.
Is he wearing that polo that he bought back from me?
No, it got lost, and there's a story behind that, but it's not for
rivalries.
Yes.
How can you beat India versus Pakistan? There's a suggestion that India threw the game against New Zealand so Pakistan couldn't get the fourth spot in the World Cup.
Well, that's a suggestion, Anthony, that we're not going to...
Well, I said suggestion.
That's right. Okay. Yes, fierce rivalry.
Mm.
Fierce rivalry. And when you consider the populations involved, it's a much bigger rivalry, for want of a better term, than Australia versus England.
That's right. And listen, with Zorba, he says he's from Illawarra, but he's sure he's not from Young, because he likes to cherry pick. I notice he hasn't mentioned what the Warriors already knew, that Sean Johnson goes missing when he's required. Like the two semi-final losses to the Warriors over the last couple of years and last few weeks for Cronulla. He's a very, very talented player. He's great to watch, but is he a million-dollar player when he just when he cherry picks when he wants to put in.
If I'm the CEO of a club, then I am not paying $1 million for Sean Johnson. Mm. It's funny how the pay scale, Raymond, is now. Oh, we put our best player on $1 million, or we pay a player $1 million because we're desperate to keep him. And this is, I'm thinking with Nathan Cleary, but are they really a $1 million player? Are they a match winner? Are they a match with? So, for example, from what I understand, the Roosters have two players that are on $1 million. Mm-hmm. Now, one's James Tedesco and the other is Cooper Cronk.
Both match winners in their own right.
Both match winners. Cronk not as brilliant as Tedesco, obviously.
But highly influential.
Correct.
And couldn't you argue that Nathan Cleary could potentially play a similar type of role? You build a club around a young halfback like him who's a long-term player. He becomes your influential playmaker. Doesn't necessarily have to be a match winner of the brilliance of James Tedesco, but an essential part of any good football side.
But is he up there with Cooper Cronk in
that? I'm not saying he is, but
he's getting paid as much as he is.
Well, that's
the point. That's the point I'm making.
But you want to keep a player like him, who's at least a 10-year player, and build your club around him. I can see where they're coming from.
Do you had to pay him that much?
Probably to keep him, yeah.
I'm sure his managers thought so.
And the demand would have been there for him off Origin Series win last year.
So here's the challenge for the Manly Warringah Seagulls. They have a match winner. I probably don't think he's in the Cooper Cronk class just yet, but he's maturing, and that is Daly Cherry Evans. He's on about $1.2 million. And then you've got two guys in Jake Trbojevic and Tom Trbojevic who are going to be there or thereabouts. If we believe what we read, then they're very close to $1 million players.
And deservedly so.
Geez, that's an interesting pay scale when you start looking at it from a top 30 point of view.
Well, three players potentially getting $1 million plus, tip over $1 million, that's a huge chunk of your salary cap, isn't it?
So. And you've got to pick up your players like your Maker Sivos, who are getting paid base salaries and leading try scorer in the NRL.
It comes back to that old argument, if you develop a player, should you get some compensation? Because it almost, you imagine being a Manly Seagulls supporter, watching the two Trbojevic brothers come through the ranks.
Yes.
Should be long-term club players, but the nuances of the salary cap could potentially force one of them or both of them away from the club. That, to me, that seems unfair.
And you might have got the number wrong on that, the two Trbojevic brothers. Might be three. Yeah.
They say the third's a gun.
There, Ben. And he looks more like Tommy than Jake, which is probably a positive too.
Have you got a view on compensation? No, you don't want to go there. That's how I quickly moved on. Have you got a view on the compensation factor for a club which nurtures and develops their own local talent?
It's involved in the salary cap already, but could be enhanced. I agree. Could be enhanced. 1353 53, the open line number. Clint's there. G'day, Clint.
How are you?
Good morning,
Clint. Really well, mate. What do you got for us?
Great rivalries. Navratilova and Everett.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everett Lloyd. Mm-hmm. Borg McEnroe.
Yes.
Borg McEnroe. Made a movie McEnroe out of that Connors. One. What was the last
What's
one,
that?
Quint? They made a movie out of Borg and McEnroe, didn't they?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
McEnroe Connors.
Mm-hmm.
And one for the harness racing people, Popular Arm and Damolite.
Yes, yeah. It was the Paleface Adios and Hondo Grattan of the 80s, wasn't it? Poppy and Gamelite. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Good on you,
Good
Clint.
Show, fellas. Thanks very much.
Good on you, mate.
Call,
good nominations there. This is Matt that sent in, hey, boys, great rivalries, the Roadrunner and the Wile E. Coyote. That's from Matt. Gee, I used to love that cartoon when I was a kid.
Just quick one. On that Poppy Arm Gamelite, there was one race, Hunter Cup, I think it was about 82, 83, Gamelite led. Popular Arm's gone straight past him and put 40 metres on the second best pace in Australia at the time. I'll show you in the ad break. It is here on the back of the neck stuff going up.
All right, we'll take a look at that. But up next, Blake Shin.
Refires running on, so too Scarlet Missile. Juliet's in front. My Blue Jeans is coming. Likewise, Weather Channel and Scarlet Missile. My Blue Jeans in front. Weather Channel's going to get close. Missed. My Blue Jeans wins it. My Blue Jeans beats Weather Channel and Scarlet Missile.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Peter Beck. 2 or 11, yeah. On air means on air. I was just saying where I bat in the batting order.
Yeah,
I'd going anywhere. So.
You're trying to tell everyone what a team player you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm loyal VC because there's no one else next to us. Yeah. Jim. It's just you
mate,
and right.
Mate, I know producers that have worked with you over the time and they say, yeah, Ray, always a delight to work with as long as he gets his way.
That's not true.
Come on. Mate, I'll give you names in a minute.
You're kidding, eh? Oh, geez, you're hard, man.
Come on, we've got a special guest here.
We have. We've got Blake Shin on the line. I apologise, Blake. We're preparing some dirty laundry here live on national radio. It's tough working with this man, but it's always good fun.
I can vouch you're a gentleman to work with, mate.
Thanks, Blake.
Oh, righto, Blake. Fair dinkum. Why is everyone against me, right?
Well, you lead with a chin, Jim. That's why.
Fair enough.
Hey, Blake, I mentioned to Jimmy earlier, I've never seen you ride better, and it's probably a great time for you to be going off to Hong Kong. But I also thought, gee, I wonder if a little part of Blake Shin wishes he was staying here, given how well you're riding, and particularly with the changes in coming up in Sydney and Melbourne racing. Is that a fair question, Blake?
Look, I certainly think it is a fair question. I have thought about it, but I think it's, you know, in my mind, it's the right time mm-hmm. to be leaving. I feel it's I'm at the right age to go to Hong Kong and, you know, test myself on the world stage over there. It's such a tough environment for a rider, and we've seen riders go there and come back and improve significantly, and that's what I'm hoping to do. And you know, I can always come back to Australia and compete here in these big races mm-hmm. and on the day-to-day, you know, level. So, you know, it's hard to be leaving in the form that I'm in, but I'm hoping to go there and set myself up on the world stage and prove to myself that I can be a world-class rider and then come back to Australia and hopefully do really well again.
Mm. It's a great mindset, mindset to go and test yourself. When did you start formulating this plan, Blake?
Look, to be honest, Jimmy, I've always had it in my mind that I've wanted to go around the world. I've aspired to be like jockeys like the ilk of Darren Beadman and Frankie Dettori and Mike yep. Smith, and that's, you know, I've always had the drive to get there. But you need the opportunities, and you just got to keep working and grafting away. Mm. It takes years and years, and you just need that door to open. For me, it's taken a lot longer than I've hoped, but for various reasons. And it's, fate works in mysterious ways, and it's happened probably the time in my life now, in a career where I'm ready to take on this challenge. Mm. And, Hong Kong's not an easy place. And, you've got to be mentally pretty tough to cope with the pressure over there. And, you've got to handle things. You're running your own business. You don't have agents and stuff. You've got to get the ride yourself. And you've got to deal with owners, go out with them and stuff. I think that's what you've got to do to secure rides and stuff. And you're expected to do things like that. So I feel I can be able to do that, and hopefully I can go there and do well and be competitive over there. Mm.
Blake, as I mentioned, your riding in recent months has gone to a level where the Hong Kong Jockey Club have come knocking, etc., and you are riding particularly well. This comes on the back of that long-term injury you had. You missed the first half of the season with that neck injury sustained in that Barrier Trial fall-off back in August. During that period you were on the sidelines, did anything change in terms of your preparation, your mindset, or how you went about things that potentially has probably produced this form surge by you?
Yes, I think it did. Look, I was always a person that, honestly, I just worked myself into the ground. Mm. I was trying too hard to get to that, like, top level, like the Bowmans and like the Olivers and wherever where they are now. And, you know, I was training probably twice a day and riding so hard and working probably tirelessly. And when I broke my neck, it just put things into perspective a bit. I just probably took the foot off the accelerator a touch and realised that I was working a bit too hard. Mm. I am still working hard, but I'm just taking the pressure off myself mentally and just learning to enjoy you know, my riding and have confidence in my riding. And I feel by doing that, I'm just having more time out on the track to make better decisions, and it seems to be working. But I tell you what, it's taken me 16 years to work it out. It's a good feeling to finally start to work it out, I tell you.
Life balance. Jimmy, there's a lesson for you and I to learn here from Blake.
Well,
you haven't got it yet, Blake.
Blake's only 31 years of age. Well, I'm 47, so it's obviously coming a little later for me. Yeah, but anyway.
Fast from that, yeah.
We were going to talk about excellence, but I'm loving this chat, Blake. It's interesting the point you make there. It's not about working harder. It's about working smarter. The beauty of being a jockey is you have the longevity, or potentially the longevity, to be able to work that out, which is what you don't get sometimes in other sports. You learn that, and it's all too late. So I think that's significant, and it talks about the thought that you put into your work and the opportunity that it gives you because of that longevity.
Yeah, definitely. Look, honestly, like, the effort that I put in to when I come back after for when I broke my neck, like, if I had to do that again, I wouldn't race.
Wow.
Because, you know, honestly, it was just excruciating, the workload that I put in. And maybe, you know, reflecting on it, I might work smarter, but I had to shed, you know, 8.5 kilos, and I was, you know, walking and running 20 kilometres a day and, you know, just dieting so much. And it was really tough, and that's why when I made the decision to go to Brisbane through the winter, I felt I couldn't keep up that daily routine of training so hard and riding at a level that all my owners and trainers expect me to do. And when I went to Brisbane, it was like a working holiday for me, and I backed off my training, and I was still training but not as hard. And the results went to new heights for me.
Right.
And it just made me realise that I don't need to keep pushing myself to the well day in, day out. Mm. And, you know, I've continued to do that, get great results for, 3 to 4 to 5 months now. And it's something I've learned about myself, and I'm looking forward to doing that in the future, and hopefully we can keep doing that for, you know, years and years to come now, and keep improving.
Exactly.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Well, I know you got a kick out of winning on X-Teen yesterday in the Winter Stakes for various reasons. And, Blake, will you ride one more Saturday in Sydney? Is that the plan before you go to Hong Kong?
It is, Ray, yeah. Next Saturday is my final weekend in Sydney. Yeah, it's a little bit sad, but I feel, you know, I have to pull up stumps at some point before I go to Hong Kong. I feel I need a little bit of a break, probably 10 days away, and I can go and see my friends and family down in Melbourne and say my goodbyes before I leave for Hong Kong. So next Saturday will be the final day, and hopefully we can sign out a winner before we leave.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, Blake, great to have you on the program, mate. I know you've been on this program a number of times. I think it's very timely that we get the chance to say, on behalf of everyone here on our team and indeed the listeners, we wish you all the very best over there in Hong Kong.
Thank you very much. Hopefully we can chat whilst I'm over there.
Hey, we're open to that as well. Yeah, absolutely. thank you. Blake Shing
again,
there, ladies and gents. We were going to talk about X-Teen, and that's an interesting chat.
And I wonder too, the point he's making about getting that life balance and just getting the mindset right. Huey Bowman took 2 months off after the autumn. Now, I know Huey's in a different position to a lot of jockeys, but I wonder if that becomes more of an accepted practice now, that because the jockeys do, that's an insight as to what they do behind the scenes, Jim, that people may not appreciate. Blake was giving an example of how hard he needed to work to get fit and stay fit. That goes on every day once they're competing at a top level. And like all of us, they need a holiday sometimes.
I've got two words for you, Raymond. Serena Williams.
She's 37 years of age. She's still contesting, although beaten this morning in that Wimbledon final. But if she was playing week in, week out, there's no way she'd still be going around.
Or Roger Federer the same.
Yeah. Roger Federer, yeah. 1353 53 is the open line number. That's the number you've got to call, too, if you want to be a part of the Event Cinemas quiz. Call now. We've got the tickets are in the house, too, courtesy of Prakash. So thank you on that.
Talk about great sporting rivalries.
Oh,
a number
absolutely.
Of contributors have mentioned our quiz rivalry, James.
Yes, exactly. Pakistan v India's got nothing on this. Call now if you'd like to be a part of the quiz. 1353 53.
Tasman Fighters present a super night of boxing Saturday, July 27. Undefeated Aussie champ Jai Opatia battles New Zealand's Nick Charalampos with three regional titles up for grabs. There's a full star-studded undercard, including the professional debut of Rabideau Luke Burgess, taking on former Rabideau star Bo Champion in the Battle of the Bunnies. It all happens at the Big Top, Luna Park, Saturday, July 27. Tickets now on sale. Just go to www.bigtopsydney.com.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the TAB app or at your local. The Kosciuszko. Tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Oh, I found the perfect winter clothing collection for my store. It's so on trend. I know it will fly off the racks. But I just need a cash injection to purchase the stock.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent $10 billion US dollars to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Apply in 10 minutes, get approval in hours, and have the money in your account as fast as the next business day. So for a loan to help you expand your business, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Here are B-Stud's strongest stallion roster ever, featuring super racehorse
Lazarus,
alongside Little Brown Jug winner
Million Dollar Cam,
multiple Group 1 winner
Caribbean Blaster, Lombo Pocket Watch
winner of 12 Group 1 races, also
Warrawee Needy, Fear the Dragon and Tintin in America.
All standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales, where there's a value for money stallion for everyone. Visit yerribee.com.au.
A double turnover, Laval through the middle. This is where she can be so dangerous, Rose Laval. Gets the shot away, what a goal! Super goal by Rose Laval. Her third of this Women's World Cup. And it's class rising to the surface.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Watch the Women's World Cup final in the Sport Bar in Košice in Slovakia.
Fanny, there you go.
Yeah, that was an experience. You know who was in there? Former Rooster Bruce Sinclair, his wife Nicole, myself, and that's it.
That's it. Just
I was trying to go
there's
through.
There's no interest in the American. Who was it? America,
America v. Netherlands.
Yeah.
In France. And I went through the TV in the hotel. There were five channels that had the Tour de France on.
That's all they worried about.
And I couldn't find the Women's World Cup. There was a preview show, and then they mustn't have had the broadcast right, so they stopped. So we had to run down Košice Main Street looking for a sport bar, and we found it. The moment you've been waiting for, Raymond, is finally here. The highly anticipated reimagining of Disney's The Lion King is now on sale. We love this movie. Mm. Take the whole family to see this much-loved tale on the big screen. Strut into luxury with Gold Class. Well, the kids won't be getting anywhere near that. Or march into Max with VMAX. Head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. Now, I'll tell you what, the lion Mufasa in Ray Thomas has emerged because I said to him in the break, Ray, do you want to be one or two? And he said two. And that's exactly how he said it, too.
Wasn't quite with that tone.
Yeah, tell you what.
I said I'll be two.
You left me very clear as to how you wanted to play this,
I
Raymond.
Played one last week. I did the right thing.
Yeah.
Opened
and you won. And you won.
Yeah, I was.
It's amazing, man. It's incredible.
I'm mixing it up now.
Okay, Wayne, you there, bud?
Yes, mate. How you going?
Very well. All right. I'd love for you to win, Wayne.
Oh, great. Thank you very much, mate.
No worries. Question one. Why does Rufus, the Harris Hawk, fly over the Wimbledon tennis courts for 1 hour most mornings of the championships?
why?
Yeah, well, why does this question be asked as player one? Anyway, why does Rufus, the Harris Hawk, fly over the Wimbledon tennis courts for 1 hour most mornings of the championships?
Most mornings? Got no idea.
To stop the pigeons roosting in the stands. I've got my very own thoughts on that question.
That's a bounce the first ball for Wayne, I've got to say.
Sorry,
it's
Wayne.
A tough one.
Did you read that question before?
I did.
You...
No, you'll find out why I wanted to play it too in a sec.
Question two. How many points did Daly Cherry Evans score in this year's State of Origin series? Was it A, 0, B, 2, or C, 4?
That's 4.
He didn't get a point. No, he didn't get it. He should have had one, potentially, at the end there. He didn't go for the field goal. Question three.
Was he too far out?
No, too slow to play the ball. What team did Hamid Hassan play for in this year's ODI World Cup, Cricket World Cup? Was it A, Bangladesh, B, Afghanistan, or C, Pakistan?
Pakistan.
See, such confidence, Wayne.
He had some tough questions.
History says we are not done yet.
He had some tough questions.
Yeah, over to you, Roman.
Player two is Matthew. Good morning, Matthew.
Morning, Ray.
Hey, Matthew. Good news is we only need one to win, mate.
Bloody beautiful.
Here we go. Question number one. Name one of the three New South Wales players who played every minute of every game in this year's Origin series. Name one of the three New South Wales players who played every minute of every game.
Damien Cook.
That's all she wrote. That'll do. Well done. Josh Adokar and James Tedesco also played every minute of this year's three-game Origin series. Matthew, congratulations. Where do you live, mate?
I'm in Queanbeyan, mate, but there's a nice cinema just next to Monica Oval.
There we go. James is not contributing to this conversation now because you should see his face, Matthew. It's pretty sad.
Well, I tell you what, Matthew, I'm back in the country, but I might as well be in Košice in Slovakia. There you go.
That wasn't an easy question.
If anyone can't spot the rort there, what is it? If you can't work out who the mark is in the room, you're the mark. Well, I'm the mark.
Matthew
right
just played well. Well done, Matthew.
Oh,
staying the line
play
there,
well?
Mate.
Fantastic, didn't you?
You
okay, 13, 15.
Guy.
I'm going to have to... Well done, Matthew. Yeah, nice part of the world there at Monica. mini break?
15-13, yes.
15-13, mini break. There's only 4 days left to get you Play for Purpose raffle tickets, Raymond. Play for Purpose is Australia's new not-for-profit raffle, helping charities and sporting clubs supercharge their fundraising and giving you the chance to win one of 7,525 amazing prizes worth $500,000. Not to mention a first prize package valued at $250,000. So, what are you waiting for? It's the ultimate win-win raffle. Tickets are selling fast, so search Play for Purpose and get yours today. T's and C's, permit numbers and tickets available online. Please gamble responsibly. A lot of response coming in for Blake Shin's interview, actually. Wow, what a champion. Good luck in Hong Kong, Blake. Cheers, Glenn the Newcastle Seagull. And we get this too from our mate Dossie. He says, morning, Jimmy and Ray. Tumut Blues and the Gundagai Tigers first played for the Mar Cup in 1921. Still traditional rivals in the Group 9 comp, topping the gate just about every season. So,
how about that, eh?
Yeah. Good one, Dossie. Let's go to callers. John's on the line there. G'day, John.
Hey, g'day, fellas.
Morning, John.
A sunny, beautiful Wingham morning.
How are we going with have we got a statue update?
Corey Brown territory.
They're working on it, mate.
Jeez, you've said that every week.
Yeah, great to hear that some of the comments about great rivalries. And there's the obvious ones, England, Australia, New Zealand, everything else. Ray, I'm going to put forward Bart Cummings and Tommy Smith, mate. What a fantastic era that was when them two were in their prime and some of the great horses that they produced. I'll never forget. I was actually at the McKinnon Stakes when Hyperno beat Kingston Town before Kingston Town's first Melbourne Cup. And some of those horses in that era that those two produced, Leilani, Gunting, that was a great rivalry.
Yeah, I reckon, John, you're right. I reckon whenever two great sportsmen or sportswomen go up against each other repeatedly, it helps it raise both their games. You think
totally.
Of Roger and Rafa and Roger and Djokovic, et cetera, and you think of Bart and TJ and... They weren't great mates, but they were friendly rivalries, but they loved nothing better than beating each other, did they?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I would like to give you a funny quip I was thinking about the other day, Ray. You may even remember this. Remember when Taxan won the Caulfield Cup.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And 78. There was a protest. Mm-hmm. And TJ was called into the steward room and went, where was the incident? Stewards turned around to TJ and said, at the 800 metre mark. Tommy replied, that's halfway back to Sydney.
That was against R1, wasn't it? And of course, Taxan kept the race. That's right.
Good on you, John. Good call, John. We do appreciate that. Let's go to Peter. He's on the line. G'day, Pete.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Really well.
Great. I got a couple.
Yep. Fire away, Pete.
Bannister and Landy. That was unbelievable. More publicity than the actual event. Tullock and Todman and boxing. Ron Richards and Fred Henneberry. They fought 10 times and filled the stadium 10 times. And they finished up 5 each.
Is that right? What era are we talking about there, Pete?
The 40s and 50s?
That was just before the war.
Okay.
And my dad used to talk about it all the time. And the other one after the war was Willie Pep and Sandy Sadler. They fought 5 times for the Featherweight World Championship. There wasn't a split match between them.
Yeah, nice one. Isn't it Jake LaMotta fought Ray Robinson
a few times,
five or six times too?
Yeah.
And that was the quote from, it's out of the movie, Raging Bull, when he said, you never knock me down, Ray, you never knock me down. Yeah. I think LaMotta won one of those. Good on you, Pete. Great call.
Gee,
we've had some good nominations here. Some fantastic nominations.
You're writing them all down there, James?
Yeah, I am, actually. I've got a couple of... There was a great SMS. We'll get to that very shortly.
What does our winning caller or contributor get this week?
Wingman beer and a Wings book.
We worked that out, haven't we?
Yeah.